May it please the court, counsel, I represent the appellant in this case. This case was brought under the ADA on two counts, a count of discrimination and a count of retaliation. There's also a state law claim which is irrelevant to this appeal. The essential facts is plaintiff Brent Miller was hired by defendant as a cable splicing technician. He had surgery and chronic problems developed where he suffered severe back, groin, and neck pain. He was off work for approximately 5 years, although there was an 8-month period where he did light duty. And in 1998, he believed he could return with some accommodation, and his attorney notified defendant, and in April of 1998, he was informed that he was terminated. During the time off, he also had filed a Social Security disability claim, which was settled in January of 98. It's our position that summary judgment was not appropriate on either count because there's genuine issues of material fact here. Mr. Miller was a qualified individual with a disability. I know this court is well aware of what the definitions are. There's essentially three elements, and the trial court focused on the first, whether he was a disabled individual. That, of course, is a physical or mental impairment that substantially limits one or more of major life activities. The court found against plaintiff on this element, and the problem is that there was an affidavit in which the plaintiff stated that he was substantially impaired in activities, and he listed several: walking long distances, climbing ladders, standing or sitting for long periods of time, sexual activity, and urination. Now, the court struck this statement because it found that it contradicted a statement in his prior deposition. Well, the statement referred to is the answer no to the defense attorney's question. So you felt you were not substantially limited in any major life activity at the time of discharge. Okay. These statements are not inherently contradictory, nor were they intended to create a sham issue of dispute.
I think you have a good argument on that point, that affidavit probably should not have been struck, but even if it was considered here, and our review is de novo, of course, why don't you talk about that and whether you can establish a prima facie case here,
well,
given
that,
the other evidence here,
okay,
or lack of it.
That evidence was critical to the element of substantially limited in a major life activity. And without it, of course, the court had really not, once it struck that, there was no prima facie case. As to the other elements of that, of the ADA claim, they were sufficiently met, and I don't think there was a problem with that.
I don't understand what the relation is between sexual incapacity and working.
Well, that was just one of activities he listed.
What's the relevance? I don't get it.
Well, it's not necessary to his claim, but
I don't get it. I don't see. I know the Supreme Court has said that about reproductive capacity, but I don't understand what it has to do with working.
Yeah. Well, you might be right, but there were other.
I know, but what is this? What does sex have to do with this? Or reproduction? That's what I don't understand.
With this,
if I say it has nothing to do with it, then fine, I will stop pestering you.
Okay. I think that's what I was trying to say.
Walking long distances. What does that have to do with anything?
It shows endurance.
Well, he's not in great shape, but how does it affect? A lot of people can't walk long distances. Climb ladders safely?
Well, climbing was a...
Safely, except a fireman, maybe.
Climbing was part of the job. So that, I think, is relevant to that. And I think the endurance, the standing or sitting, shows that he would require some accommodation. I'm not saying that all these things had the sexual thing. You're probably right, Your Honor. It, as to this claim, it doesn't have any bearing. However, when he was describing his activities that he was limited, he was just talking about everything he was limited to.
Well, the question is, of course, the other question is whether he's a qualified individual with a disability. And qualified individual means he has to do the job.
Right.
And he said he couldn't do some of it, like he can't climb, he can't lift a great deal, and he said he had to work out of a bucket, which I guess most of them do nowadays anyway. But there were certain limitations that made it incompatible with that job, wouldn't it?
Okay, well, that actually goes, I think, to whether he could do it with a reasonable accommodation.
Right, and if you have to create another job for someone else to do things he can't do, that's beyond reason, isn't it?
But for purposes of summary judgment, we're talking about whether there's a material issue of disputed fact. And there was, he believed he could do it with the accommodation. That determining the accommodation.
What's the accommodation he thought he needed?
Using a bucket instead of climbing manually and a weight restriction. And whether or not that was reasonable, I mean, that's an interactive process. You know, the employer may say, no, that's not reasonable, but that's not determinative. And so for purposes of summary judgment, we believe what's here was sufficient to survive that. His belief, he was an experienced person. He knew the job, and I think his testimony carries weight, creating that issue of fact. The other thing about the affidavit and the deposition statement I would just mention is that the deposition, the court sort of treated that as an unrebuttable presumption. Unrebuttable admission. And it was basically a legal conclusion by a lay person, which shouldn't be treated that way. Therefore, we think that the affidavit should not have been stricken, that statement. There also was another question involved in this case, concerning whether or not the Social Security disability procedure and finding and settlement was going to preclude his ADA claim. And the answer is no. And I believe Cleveland versus Policy Management System controls this case on that, because that case says when you get a Social Security disability determination, it's not considered whether reasonable accommodation could take care of it. And so there are two separate proceedings, two separate findings. Therefore, for purposes of summary judgment, again, this would not have precluded it. As to the second claim, which was the retaliatory discharge, plaintiff had...
Did he ask Ameritech for an accommodation?
His attorney made the efforts through, I believe, a letter.
Is that in the record?
Yeah, yes.
A letter from his lawyer to Ameritech? Yes. What does it say?
I believe it says that he wanted to return to work. It doesn't say, I don't believe, specific accommodations. But the initiation for that kind of discussion was made.
For discussion of accommodations?
Yes. He wanted to return with, yes. And as back to the retaliatory discharge claim, as to that, the error in the district court's ruling was that it found that it had to apply the indirect method of standard of proof. And just because he didn't have direct evidence, that like an admission by the defendant, that did not limit him from using the direct method. He could prove it by circumstantial. And in this case, there was the evidence of the statements, kind of hostile statements, and the discharge. So we would ask that the court reverse the district court on both counts and remand the case for further proceedings.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Renshaw. Mr. Klein?
Morning, Your Honors, counsel. Obviously, we have a different view of this than plaintiff's attorney. Let me go back for one second, and not to argue with Judge Evans about the affidavit, but at his deposition, he did not merely say that he had no, that he was not substantially limited in a major life factor. He also said
questions just seem to be so ridiculous.
Well, he also said he could work any job. He could drive.
That's a better question than.
Pardon?
That's a better question.
And he answered that in the affirmative.
Limited in a major life activity.
But
he knows what that means.
He also said that he was capable of working any job, driving any place in the Chicago area, driving cars, driving trucks, subject to the limitation of weight and climbing ladders. And I think that was also one of the basis on which Judge Lefkoe struck the affidavit. Even if you credit the affidavit, I think there's no claim as a matter of law. A number of factors are still missing. There's nothing about the, no evidence about the number of types and jobs from which he was supposedly precluded. There's nothing comparing his limitations to the average person in the general population, nothing about the severity, expected duration, permanent or long-term impact, and these are all factors in a in a protected disability, and there's just no proof of it as a matter of law. And even if you credit the affidavit, there's just nothing in here that would create a question of fact.
He was gone for a period of time. What is that length of time?
I'm sorry?
He was away from the job.
He was off work for 4 years, or more than 4 years.
In the meantime, is there training, or are there other things that go on that he would miss?
No.
So he could come back. It's that if he were totally cured or whatever, he could come back to the same job without any trouble.
Well, he said he couldn't.
Well, I mean, he could if all things, if he were totally able.
Well,
I mean, I'm talking about training and experience and all that.
Well, there's nothing. I think there's really nothing in the record that goes to that. He was just off for four years. He came back for about 6 or 8 months on light duty, and then I believe he left again and had another.
But did not go back to his original.
He did not. He did not. He was a paper shuffler for about 6 or 8 months, and then he had another operation. back to another point that I believe you raised, Judge Mannion, and that's even assuming arguendo that he had a protected disability, I think it's pretty clear from the record that even with an accommodation, he wasn't capable of doing essential elements of the job. The record is clear, and I think Judge Lefkoe found that climbing and lifting heavy objects were essential elements of the job. Didn't have to be every day, but there had to be some time where he had to do it. He admitted that.
What about the bucket truck? The bucket truck?
Well, the bucket trucks were there sometimes. Sometimes they weren't.
What does that mean, sometimes there?
Well, the I think the point is...
Can't you be assigned to a bucket truck?
But he would still, even assigned to a bucket truck, at some point... Have to be able to climb a ladder and lift a heavy object.
Why is that?
That was the nature of the job.
I don't understand. The bucket is a substitute for the ladder.
Well, it could or could not be, but there was certainly nothing.
Why not?
There,
I don't understand.
His testimony.
Why couldn't it be?
Pardon me?
Why can't it be a substitute for a ladder? That's the whole purpose of it, right?
The record, as I said, and I don't need to argue with you, his testimony was that sometimes there were bucket trucks and sometimes there weren't. And what the accommodation that he is asking for is never to be have to lift or never have to climb a ladder. And they would have essentially had to have somebody else do his job. And that was the point of it. There's also, let me go on to another point, no evidence at all, with all due respect, that he ever asked for an accommodation. The only evidence were two paragraphs in his affidavit that were stricken, in which his lawyer...
What about the letter
from his lawyer?
Pardon?
But there was a letter from his lawyer.
The letter was also stricken, and it didn't talk about a specific accommodation.
No, but the way this works, you ask for an accommodation, you don't have to be specific. The employer has a duty to... explore with you possible accommodations.
Mm-hmm. Not if you don't ask. And
you don't have to say, I want the following specific accommodation. You say, I'm disabled, I think I can work with an accommodation, so let's discuss it. Because the employer knows more about, you know, we have a lot of cases about that. So why was the letter stricken?
I think there was no foundation, and it also there was...
What do you mean by no foundation? What does that mean?
It also never said anything...
Also, what do you mean by no foundation?
Judge Lefkoe found, and I held, that it was just an inadmissible letter.
Why?
Because there was no proof it was sent.
What does it mean? No proof it was sent?
No proof it was sent is a good reason.
Well, it also never asked for a specific accommodation.
We just were through that. Don't you understand? You don't have to ask for a specific accommodation.
I think you have to ask for
that?
Some. I think you have to...
You have to ask. You have to raise the question, and then the employer has a duty to explore with you accommodations.
Not if... Well, under these circumstances, with all due respect, if he's not qualified... to do the job and not substantially limited, we don't even reach that issue.
Now, this problem with the letter, you say no proof it was sent. You mean it was just the office copy, the lawyer's office copy?
That's right, yes.
So that's your problem. There's no problem. Proof of mail.
But I think even beyond that, I mean, we reach that only under the situation where he's a qualified individual and has a protected disability, and I think neither of those exist here. Quickly on the retaliatory discharge, no matter what method we use, there's only two stray remarks. One of them was 4 years before he was terminated, had to do with a transfer. The other, as I understand it, was a month before he filed the EEOC claim. His lawyer apparently claims that somebody told him at Ameritech that they were pissed off at him. No indication whatsoever that the person who made the remark was a decision maker. No indication of why he was pissed off. And again, the timing is such that it was before he even filed the EEOC claim. So if we reach that point, there's certainly nothing to the retaliatory discharge claim.
Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Thank you.
So, Ms. Renshaw, how much time does she have? 1 minute? Do you have anything further?
I just wanted to say, although I was not the trial attorney, in my review of the record, there was a functional capacity assessment done of Mr. Miller, and it was my recollection that was an exhibit in the deposition. But if I'm wrong, I would ask the court for the opportunity to let them know that I'm wrong. I'm going to go back and review it.
Okay.
The only other thing I would say is that from defense argument and my argument, what's here is an issue of fact as to whether or not Mr. Miller could do the job. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Shaw and Mr. Klein.